Good to be here tonight, amen. Want to continue to pray for those. Good to see Sister Martin back with us today. But we still want to continue to pray for her. We got the announcement. Michelle will be having surgery tomorrow, Friday. We'll continue to pray for her, as well as all the sick in the shut-in. Brother Paul Burson, it's announced they've been moved to room 514, I think. And want to continue to pray for him. As he continues to sing better, as he continues to sing good. All right, let's go to John chapter 18 tonight. Let's get started here. Me and Brother Frazier been hee-hawing around about John over here, about verse 15. I talked to a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine's. Well, yesterday we were conversating about that, and he said, well, Brother Lyle, he says, well, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He said, did the Holy Spirit tell you who the other disciples were? I said, no, he didn't. He says, don't the Bible teach not to add to, not take away from God's word? Why are you speculating? Because it wouldn't matter anyway. In relationship to, did he know him? Did he not know him? Brother Frazier made a good point about John, that he didn't think that John could hang out with scoundrels like that. But so I said, well, you know, that's something to think about. A lot of times when we study the Bible, we sometimes dig too deep. Or we will know things that really is not important. The relationship, the scheme of redemption. Because whether it was John or whether it was Mike or whether it was Sue, it wouldn't matter anyway. Because verse 15, the Bible plainly says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. Now, it didn't say another disciple, so we don't know who it was. And that disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus to the palace of the high priest. So I guess the point to be made, I'm going to leave it alone because I thought about what he said, and I thought about again what he just said. It don't even matter. Because we can speculate who we may think it may be. And you can read commentaries on what one commentary is going to say this, another commentary is going to say this. But we do know what the Bible says. The Bible says, so did another disciple. I know you would say, why are you spending so much time? Because I want to leave it alone. But look at verse 16. Let's continue. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out. Okay. All the four gospels. Why would that be? Well, we do know that John did have a relationship because in Acts 4, he faced the same one. See, in relationship to where he faced death, same way Jesus did. So it had to be some kind of relationship there. And as you say, this is the only place that this account is mentioned. Because a lot of times in the Gospels, when you look at their knowledge of Jesus, sometimes it's found in all four. Sometimes it's found in three. It just depends in relationship to the author, as well as who is he written to, but it all has to do with scheme and redemption. See, in relationship to the audience that's being portrayed. For example, the Matthew also have more law in it, have more to do with Judaism, man, because it's just a Jewish audience. See, so it would deal with that more that way. See, Mark is more of a Gentile book. That is that more toward the Gentiles and things of that nature. So it just depends on the nature of the book and the audience that's being written. And John is the author here. So in relationship to what he did or not, I don't know. But I'm going to leave it alone. Because literally it didn't have anything to do with scheme of redemption. Because Luke 19:10 said, why did he come? Seek and save that which is lost. And the only thing John is doing is getting us a chronological thing that happened that led up to the death of Jesus in fulfillment of the 17 books. See, when everything is happening, the gospel is prophesied in the 17 books in relationship to Shiloh coming, led as a lamb down before his shear to down the cross, that we may have the right to the tree of life and the establishment of the church. That's the whole point. I mean, that's the whole point. So it literally don't even matter. See, the only thing we're doing is getting a refresher course as a remembrance of things that happened, but also I came not to destroy, but I came to fulfill. See, and that's the key thing as we study this book, or as we have saw this book, or when you go to John chapter 20. And I read this scripture all the time in John 20 and 31. See, he talks about, and many other signs truly that Jesus and the presence of the disciple was not written in the book. Verse 31, he says, but these are written that they might believe. See, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name, through Jesus' name. And that's the reason why the synopsis of the gospel exists. Only one word to sum it up, believe. See, that's the reason why Matthew go from his birth to his what? Death. See, some don't even talk about that much. See, Luke, you see the same account. So you see how the synoptics of the Gospels are written, but they are written for a specified purpose. You understand what I'm saying? Luke getting more into John the Baptist. See, and that's the point that we're saying. Y'all understand what we're saying? So when I talked to him about that, I smiled and I laughed and I grinned. And I thought about it, and that's absolutely right. Because sometimes we just get too detailed. We want to be too analytical. It really is not even important. Because sometimes when you do that, you're going to miss the point. Because anytime you begin to think for God, when God didn't tell you to think that way, because he didn't tell us that, right? Because the only thing he said, another disciple. So let's continue to read verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that with the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, not. Now you remember the story when he denied him what was going to happen. Fulfilling the prophecy. That's all it is. And here's the case. Here's the case. See, first time. And the servant officer stood there who had made a fire cold, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus of the disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him. He said, I spoke openly to the world. I even taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I say. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by, they struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answer thou the high priest so. And Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why did you hit me? And Ananias had sent him bound unto Cephas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warned himself. And they said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied him, and he said, I am not. There's two. Two. And one of the servants, be sure your sins will find you out by what's done, because you never know who's watching you. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see thee in the garden with him? You did what? What kind of pain you felt? And Peter then denied him, and immediately the car crew. Then led they Jesus from Cephas unto the hall of judgment. It was honest, and they themselves went not into judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover, part of the law, the things that they couldn't do in reverence or observance of the law. And we saw that when we read Leviticus, didn't we? We saw that how detailed that was when we read Deuteronomy, the repeating of the law, certain things they could do, because all this is current on the eve of the what? see, in relationship to the feast of the Passover. And Pilate then went out unto them, saying, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we wouldn't have delivered him up unto thee. And then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. And that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, when he spake, signified what death he should die. And then Pilate entered into the judgment hall against him and called Jesus and said to him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee? And Pilate answered, I am a Jew. Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, and here we go. And the reason why it leads up to this here relationship, because see, they just can bring Jesus in without a cause. The cause has to be that Jesus was accused of being a king, but his kingdom they did not understand in relationship to one who was a fake, or one who was pretending to be something that he was not to be, to bring accusation to bring him to death. But look at verse 36, and this is the point. And Jesus answered, see, my kingdom is not of this world. See, and I want you to tie that back to Matthew 16. Matter of fact, go back there right quick, and I want to show you what Matthew said in relationship to the kingdom. See, they thought it would be a physical kingdom, but it's not a physical kingdom that he was talking about. But he was talking about a what? Spiritual kingdom. Because in verse 16:19, he said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the what? Kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, shalt thou bind in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, and thou shalt loose in heaven. So here in 16:19, and over here in 18:36 in John, they here were thinking that Jesus was trying to establish a kingdom in violation of the law. In violation of a physical law. Jesus was talking about a spiritual law, not a physical law. See, because Jesus says here, my kingdom is not of the world. If in the kingdom was of the world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to you, the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. That is, that it's coming, but it's not came, but it's not a kingdom of this world. If it was a kingdom of the world, then you have a reason to fight. But see, when my kingdom come, see, this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and literally, they just didn't understand. Go ahead, bro. That's it. Well, they didn't understand. They didn't understand the 17 books. Like today, people do not understand the Bible. See, it's impossible for you to know God's will if you don't have understanding. And see, they had been taught. These were Jews. These were Jews with knowledge. But they were taught that a kingdom were coming, even when you read Acts 2. When Peter still had been preached, they knew of David. See, he said David is dead in his tomb. But this king whom we serve, he's alive. You understand what I'm saying? See, they knew of Abraham. They knew of Isaac. They knew of Jacob. They knew of Joseph. They knew that. But they could not contrast it the same way today. People cannot compare, or they can't parallel the analogy of physicality versus spirituality. And the reason why they couldn't understand it, because they knew a law and they knew a king was coming, but they could imagine it to be Jesus. Because see, when you think of kingdom or king, what do you think of? I mean, when you think of the president of the United States, what do you think of? When you think of the Queen of England, what do you think of? Majesty, tapestry. But see, you wouldn't think of this man Jesus, born in the ghetto, born with peasant parents, to be this king that had been talked about from generation to generation to generation to generation to come to build a kingdom. So when the accusation came as Jesus to be the king of the Jews, well, they thought that he was setting up a kingdom that would be antagonistic to their kingdom, which was against the law. Same way, you can't set up another nation within the United States because you already live here. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't say, well, I don't want to be a part of the United States, and I'm going and get me a piece of land and start me another country. You can't do that. It's just not going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? Because you already exist within a kingdom. You already exist within a country that has laws, that has a president, that has a constitution, that we are governed by, whether you like it or not. It's law. Certain things you can't do. Well, that's the same thing that was happening here. But see, if I go to Brother Sean, thank God that it happened that way, because they had to find a reason for Jesus to be put to death. Because if there had been no reason to be put to death, all of us would be what? Because they never did understand. And not only did they not understand, Peter didn't understand. The apostles didn't understand. And they had been with Jesus for 3 years. So they didn't know. They didn't know. Because look what Peter did. Do you think that Peter really have known the 17 books and understood the kingdom, being a spiritual kingdom versus a physical kingdom, that he would have denied Jesus 3 times? Do you think that he would have acted that way? When he cut that man ear off? He wouldn't have done it. I'll tell you another point before I go to Sean. You remember when Jesus in Matthew 16 made the proclamation, upon this rock I will build my church in the gates of hell shall prevail. Then that same chapter he said, tell no man. Before even on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, tell no man. And the reason why I tell no man, because the hour hadn't came. See, the hour hadn't came in order for scriptures to be fulfilled. Because every dot had to be crossed, every T had to be crossed in order for God's will to be done. You see? And that's the point. Go ahead, Brother Brian. I'm sorry it took me so long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Right. Well, see, what you saying about Peter, and Jesus knew Peter, because you remember when Jesus said, do you love me? What did he say? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Do you really love me? See, he loved Jesus. He don't love Jesus so far. You understand what I'm saying? See, it was a human side of Peter. You know why that human side of Peter was that way? Even though he had been with Jesus for 3 years, he didn't know who Jesus was. Now, he knew of Jesus, but he hadn't grown to that point to really understand Ephesians 5:17, what was the will of God. And that's where a lot of people are. A lot of people go to church, but they don't never reach that plateau in spirituality whereby their understanding link up to knowledge. See, they know that there's a God. They know there's a heaven. They know there's a hell. Then they don't want to go to hell. They know they want to go to heaven. But they don't know, they don't have substance of Hebrews 11:1 to have faith. See, Peter did not have the faith to really be a disciple of Jesus Christ because of his attributes, right? Now, God still used him. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that that comforter, that spirit of truth that they gave them on the day of Pentecost, if Peter never got that, do you think Peter could have stood up on the day of Pentecost and did what he did? Huh? He still wouldn't have had it. He'd been the same old Peter. See, that's the reason why, and I'm going to contrast it. See, Peter had a human element, and he demonstrated it. We all have sin, right? And fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And not a perfect person in here tonight. If you are, the Bible says you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. So the point that I'm saying, see, being a Christian is not perfection. Being a Christian is growing to perfection. That's the reason why, see, Corinthians, he said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know we don't have a miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, this perfect law, the more you get in it, the more you understand it, the more you know it, to make the transformation, you're going to get better and better. See, and that's the difference. See, that's the difference. And I think that's the reason why the Holy Spirit gives us different views of Peter. They let us saw Judas. See, they let us saw these men, but they all was human men. Or they all had human attributes. See, but still God could use them. That's the reason why we see that last peace wall, that he had to give them a comforter. He had to give them a spirit of truth. He had to give them a miraculous indwelling in order for his will to come out. See? And that's a lesson for us. Because sometimes, if I go to you, brother, sometimes we get too sanctimonious. Sometimes we forget where we came from. Amen? Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we look down on people who may be in denominationalism. We think that we are better than they are. But the only difference between them and us is we saved and they lost. It's our responsibility to get them saved. Amen? See? But the only way you're going to do it, brethren, you just got to let the word of God work in you. Go ahead, brother. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. That's right. That's the word. That's right. That's it. That's right. That's right. Well, you know, the Bible's a faith without works. It's impossible to please God without works. See, it's impossible. See, that's the point. I mean, everybody want to go to heaven, but how can you go to heaven with the wrong kind of faith? It ain't going to happen. See, it had to be a right kind of faith, and that faith is only one faith, as Ephesians 4:4, that we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace by letting faith work in our life. See, faith is what makes works work. That's understanding, right? And that's something that they just didn't have. See, they just didn't have that faith in relationship. And that's a good point, Sean, and you and Kenny brought up about Peter. See, and that's a lesson for us to learn. Sometimes we need to get off our horse, amen, because we ain't been too good ourselves. But thank God for the grace of God, amen. I'm not saying that in an ugly way. See, I'm saying it in a way of gratefulness. Amen. For what God has done for us. We didn't do it for ourselves, for what God has done for us. See, grace and mercy. Okay? Look at verse 38 right quick. And then Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" You need to underline that. What is truth? He told him what truth was, but he still didn't understand truth till he say, "Well, what is truth?" I kind of like somebody saying, you tell somebody, "What's 2 plus 2? They say 4. They say, what is 2 plus 2? I just told you 4. See, he told them the truth, but see, he didn't understand what truth, so he going to throw it back on Jesus and say, "Well, what is truth?" See, how are you going to say that my kingdom is not of this world? How can you talk about a kingdom which is imaginary? Can you imagine how that to feel? Is it like you saying, Santa Claus is for real? Is it like you saying, I believe in imaginary figures? It's kind of what that is. When you're going to sit there and say, "Well, I got a kingdom, but you can't see it. It's not of this world." See, same thing. Y'all listen to this. This is the same thing in the world today about the church. See, people want to make the church to be what? Physical, when the church is what? See, we want to put attributes of the church to be physical based on things what we see to satisfy the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. See, why? Because, see, people can't see the church in a spiritual sense. The reason why they can't see it in a spiritual sense, because they don't have spirituality. So how can you see it in a spiritual sense when you don't have spirituality? How can this man say, "What are you talking about? You talking about a kingdom is not of this world?" Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, all the prophets, the 17 prophets, that's all they've been talking about for generation, 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 that a kingdom gonna come. We've been looking for this king. And what you talking about is not of this world. You're out your mind. Come on, man, tell me the truth. He says, "What is truth?" Truth is something else, ain't it? Truth is something else, ain't it? See, but we believe what we want to believe. Look at what he said here. He said, Pilate said, "And what is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said to them, "I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, thank God for this statement right here. Man, we need to underline this one here because, boy, this is so good, ain't it? He said, "Not this man, not Jesus, but Barabbas." But look here, y'all. Barabbas was a robber. And here the Son of God, Jesus, literally hadn't did nothing, but came down here to die on the cross to build a kingdom that we might be saved. Amen. They chose a robber over Jesus. Go ahead. Well, but in spite of, who would take Jesus, if you understood Jesus, if you understood the why he came, who would take a anybody over Jesus? Now, I understand the story, what we've been told here, Jesus had to die. But do you understand the point that I'm saying? If you have a choice between taking the church out of the denominationalism, what would you accept? If you have a choice accepting Jesus or Allah, who would you accept? I mean, if you had a choice of accepting Jesus or the Pope, who would you accept? But here, the Holy Spirit told us who they chose. A robber, a murderer, And I don't know about y'all, but I thank God for it. Amen. See, that they chose this man over Jesus that we might be saved. Amen. Go ahead, Shelly. That's right. Eating away. But you're right. But the, what we're reading, see, what we're reading, and then we're reading in a human sense, and we're looking at it, even though we're not here, that's what, this happened over 2,000 years ago. We're looking at the story being told, and we understand what scheme of redemption is, right? In relationship to why he came, seek and save that which was lost, right? But see, we're seeing two sides of it. See, and when you look at the high priest, even when you go back and look at all the kings from time to time, see, you didn't have too many good kings. Most of them was evil anyway. See, most of them didn't comply and reign the scheme of redemption anyway. Am I right? See, so you got to look at the atmosphere that surrounded them. You got to look at their ancestry. You got to look at their heritage. You got to look at how they were brought up in relationship to what they mind. Because that plays a big role in what we do and how we do it, don't it? See, so, but in spite of, because we know the end of the story. See, it's just like reading the book. Guess what, y'all? Look at it. If we didn't know the whole story, if you're just reading this book, like that book you're reading, Sister Brown, and you're halfway through the book and you got to this point, the next thing you want to know is what happened. But see, we have been studying this here and we already know what happened. Right? And we're sitting here, we're trying to make conversation as to why or why not, and sometimes it don't even matter. Because the end result came out good. Amen. But Romans 15:4, what's the thing that in the foretime realm for our learning, we still can make a spiritual application, that is, that when you do right, the world gonna choose the world over us. See, when you're trying to do right, live right, act right, and you try to let your light shine to be the best you can be, see, you're gonna have all kind of false accusations. See, and one thing about the Church of Christ. See, when you talk, they say, what church you go to? You say Church of Christ. Most folks know about the Church of Christ, they'll shake their head. Because they already got some kind of knowledge. Something already against us. It's all based on that word. Well, what is truth? Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, they know just enough that they don't want it. Right? See, and that's another reason why. Let me say this. You finding what Paul said in Acts 20, when I depart, grieve with me in the end, not sparing the flesh, speaking perverse doctrines to draw disciples after them. See, that's the reason why the gospel is being perverted so much, is because we want to be in competition with the world for the world to like us. And who cares if the world even do like us? Because we got a better friend, he calls Jesus. See, and that's the point that we need to understand. Go ahead. Acts 3rd chapter. What Peter are you talking about? The one that denied Jesus three times? Oh, bad Peter, Sean said, was cussing. Huh? How can Peter be cussing? Sean, you sure you read that somewhere? They said he was cussing. Well, all right, Acts 3. What you say, Sean? All right. Go ahead, bro. Right. That's it. And they still didn't understand. Because you remember, it goes on to 7. You remember with Stephen? They still didn't understand. Am I right? See the recollection of Jesus and what happened that goes all the way back to Abraham and brings all up to the now. It's mentioned several times in the book of Acts. See, but still they did not understand. Huh? Some of them. Yeah. But the reason why I'm saying that is because they had to keep on repeating it over and over again. You understand what I'm saying? Because see, if they would have believed from the time Peter preached it, Peter first preached it on the day of Pentecost. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection, right? See, Peter preached it, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Acts 3 said in gold, we don't have. But what did he preach? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Acts 7, see, what did he preach? For they stoned Stephen, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's repeated throughout the book of Acts over and over again. Why was it repeated? Because all didn't believe. See, and that same thing today. See, everybody, even within the church, not going to believe. See, you got Christians, see, who would transgress, add to God's word. Amen?
Well, one thing we got to understand about truth, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So you have to empathize with people. And what that simply means is you got to put yourself in their place, because one time you were there. And it's by the grace of God that you're not. Now, I'm not saying don't back down from truth, because truth gonna stand when everything else is gone. I mean, don't be afraid to tell truth. Sometimes we minimize around truth. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but would you rather me to tell you the truth? But you got to do it with kind, like Ephesians 4:32. Say, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, compassionate. See, but truth still got to be there. You understand what I'm saying? See, so the point that I'm saying, this is a lesson for us to learn, because see, ignorance is the word. See, most people are just ignorant. Like the Ethiopian eunuch. See, like Cornelius. Like those on the day of Pentecost. They were ignorant, some of them. They didn't know. Well, we just got through reading. When Jesus told them that my kingdom is not of this world, they didn't understand that. They were ignorant. Because they say, well, are you trying to say you're going to be king of Jews? But see, they didn't understand. He wasn't trying to establish a physical kingdom. He was trying to establish a spiritual kingdom. See, and that's the whole point I'm saying. See, when you look at how it fit in, even the book of Acts, after the church was established. See, why did they have to continue to repeat, all the way up to Acts 10, to when the Gentiles were brought in? See, because still you had, like Sean said, you had some believe, you had some didn't, but the majority didn't believe. They just didn't believe. And that's the same thing when you go to 1 Corinthians 15. See, that's what the gospel is. See, a gospel sermon should never be preached unless the death, burial, and the resurrection is mentioned. How can you preach it without the gospel? You can't preach a sermon without the gospel. Because everything hinges on the gospel. You understand? People say, well, that's negative preaching. Well, I guess you don't want the gospel. That's what the gospel is. Go back and read Acts 7. Go back and read Acts 3. Go back and read Acts 2. And you see how this, them sermons being preached. They're strong. See?
It's so strong, they killed Stephen. Paul was with him. Saul of Tarsus was with him. And he was a man who was, he wasn't no ignorant man. He was pretty smart, wasn't he? But he felt a threat. Next week we hit 19. I don't want to cover today. Y'all with me? Thank God for Jesus. Amen.